This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Now we want to reflect on events that took place yesterday, eThekwini, eGagasini, there by the People's Park, where we saw the nation, the welcoming prayer meeting for the former president, Jacob Zuma. Of course, he was not in attendance himself. He did address, though, virtually for quite some time, in actual fact, and the attendants were seated quite attentively listening to his address. The VIPs had been moved from the stage because of winds that raised safety concerns, and they watched on to his virtual address from the seats there where the audience was. Let us talk to the spokesperson for the Jacob Zuma Foundation, Mzwanele Manyi. Mhlekazi, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Morning, Mhlekazi. Good morning to your listeners.
No, thank you so much. I mean, there had been a huge conversation about this a welcoming prayer meeting, whether it would be in Durban, whether it would be at Nkandla, to be closer to where the former president, is currently. What made you choose Durban as the venue for this meeting?
I think the considerations were where it's easier for people to get to. If we had local people from Umlaz, Wamashu, and so on, and people flying in, and all of that, Durban is more central than Uganda. Uganda is off the road. It's easier for people around Uganda, but difficult for everybody else.
Mr. Manyi, just please move a little bit for me so that, you know, your reception is a stable. I'm not losing you, but there's a bit of an unstable connection where you are. I mean, it was a big event, different, guests in attendance. I saw even some academics clad in academic regalia, your clergy, in their regalia. Just give us a sense of who was there and how did you manage to achieve such a broad range of people attending?
I think it's a very important observation on your part, that this begins to clearly identify who exactly His Excellency President Zuma is. Mm. He is a unifier. He is the one person where all sectors of society resonate with, whether it's academics, whether it's all the various groupings that you are talking about there. That's what it is. It's not like we deliberately went out to target. They came on their own, as it were. As a typical example, those people with the red gowns, those doctorates, graduates that were there, they came on their own, so to speak. They approached the foundation to say, we want to come. In fact, we want to award His Excellency President Zuma with a doctorate for all the hard work that he has done, etc. So indeed, I think this really is just the clearest indication that His Excellency President Zuma is a unifier.
You must tell them, Mr. Manyi, that he was already awarded a professorship in Japan, if I'm not mistaken.
he's got a litany of those things, trust me.
And one from the University of Texas as well.
Plenty. There's lots of them.
Now, Mr. Manyi, let's talk. I mean, as the foundation, you clearly have an interest to keep the name of President Zuma in the public domain. What influences this idea to keep, his name and the support he still enjoys from some quarters in the public domain?
Now, you must remember that President Zuma is from the crop of the ANC leadership that was tasked with uniting the African people in the first instance, building South Africa and all of that. Now, I think it's for everyone to see that South Africa is in tatters. South Africa is more disunited now than ever before. Let's just be realistic. Look at the situation now. You can even compare it to before 1994. The situation is seriously deteriorated. Now, a person like President Zuma is the only person, really, that has got the credentials to be able to bring this nation back to its glorious former days.
And talking about, you know, that, I'm sure you are not alluding to the fact that he will come back to some form of active leadership. What role is it that you wish for him to play in society?
Well, it's not me saying this. The speakers that were there, speaker after speaker, they have called for President Zuma to come back and lead the ANC, as it were, and use the ANC as a base to bring this country back to normality. So it was speaker after speaker that said that. It's not even me. So I think the people of South Africa are beginning to express themselves. I think people of South Africa are beginning to see that the incorrect narrative that was presented as that was presented to destroy President Zuma's credibility, that narrative is really not sustainable. I mean, we're sitting here today with Sunday Times failing to produce evidence of the house in Dubai. We're sitting with all kinds of allegations that no one is able to bring anything of substance to substantiate them. So people of South Africa are even seeing this. I mean, if you look at the commission as an example, where the commission was set up first and foremost to deal with the issue primarily against President Zuma, which was the reason why he was not given his constitutional right to appoint the commission. Yet there was a decision taken by the courts to say, rather go to jail than present your version. This is a clear sign that there was absolutely no substance whatsoever in trying to say President Zuma did this, President Zuma was captured, and all of that. Up to today, of the people that went even into that commission, not one soul has produced any credible evidence to back up this general knowledge of South Africa.
Mr. Manyi, let's track back a little. I just want to come and get finality on some issue that you have raised, which actually piques my curiosity. Are you suggesting that some people are of the view that they could, in fact, nominate former President Zuma to lead the ANC in the next conference?
Yeah, most definitely. That's what came out there. I can give you clips of that if you want. People are actually saying their vote for the ANC now should be a vote that is tied up with the fact that President Zuma must lead the ANC. That's what they said prayer day.
He did seem to dabble into the world of internal ANC politics as well, talking about the importance of ANC conferences and alluding to the fact that if you are a revolutionary, you don't, when the enemy comes inside, you start running away. You fight the enemy until you defeat the enemy. What do you think he was talking about when he was alluding to such?
I don't have to think. He did say it himself. He was addressing the issue of ANC people that are becoming independent. He was not talking hypotheses. He was talking real things. What we have now is ANC cadres that have decided to be independent because they don't find comfort within the ANC. They get rejected in the ANC. Some of them are saying, even though they are number one in the list, the corrupt processes in the ANC reject them, and they are forced to become independent, as it were. So he was saying to them, you can understand their pain, but how they are responding is not correct, because at the end of the day, it will be a smaller ANC, it will be a weaker ANC, and when they are independent, they would have defined themselves outside.
And
the
they will
ANC.
Never be able to come back to the they ANC, as he said.
Not only never be able to come back, they'll never be able to come back to correct the ANC that they are saying they love so much and all of that. So he's saying he can understand their strategy, but their strategy is flawed. That's the point he was making.
Are these enemies within the ANC identifiable?
Oh, yeah.
Are they known to you?
No, it's very easy. Go and check what happens when some of the so-called leaders of the ANC go to places like Soweto. Look at the kind of reception that they get. It's very clear. It's all out in the newspapers. Check Soweten and all of that. You will see that the people of South Africa are very clear that they know the leadership that they want, they know the leadership that is imposed on them, and they rebel against leadership that is imposed on them. Very clear.
But let's be fair, Mr. Banyi, that some of these issues are not new in the ANC. I mean, as far back as the 2011 local government elections, we saw a lot of political killings happening, people struggling for resources. In 2016, we saw greater contestation as well, some people becoming independents, particularly where you were yesterday in the city of Etegwini, because they were aggrieved with ANC processes. In fact, there was even a shootout in a stadium where there was a meeting because of disagreements between ANC people and the SACP. Former President Zuma was at the helm of the ANC. I don't recall him tackling these issues as passionately as he seems to articulate himself today.
Look, I don't want to get into too much internal issues of the ANC.
You are the custodian of his legacy.
No, let me finish my point. I don't want to get too much into the issues of the ANC. The only point we're making now is that as we speak here and now, whoever is leading the ANC is doing not nearly enough to be able to deal with the issues that you're talking about. If anything, the situation is deteriorating. And this is the point that we're raising. I mean, what are the facts? The facts are, as we speak here and now, there has never been the number of independent candidates from the ANC that you have today. Mm. There's never been, in the history of the ANC, you've never seen this kind of a thing happening before. So clearly you can see that there is a fundamentally something wrong with what is happening. You have never seen in the history of the ANC a situation where conference resolutions get amended by a structure which is junior to the conference. You've never seen that. So indeed, President Zuma is aware that there is something very wrong within the ANC.
Mr. Manyi, I'm wondering which resolution you're alluding to in terms of amendment, because I would probably say there has been prioritization and neglect and not amendment. But Tebu on Twitter has a question for you.
Not before Tebu on Twitter.
Okay.
The ANC resolutions don't have the word NPA. The amendment, for instance, on the step aside, has got the word NPA. When that resolution was taken, there was never an issue about being charged by the NPA. There was a whole range of about four categories around the step aside resolution. So the prioritization, if it was a prioritization,
yes,
as reflected in the
guidelines,
in the resolutions of the ANC, they've been clear enough in actual fact. But now to come and amend them and introduce new factors which were not discussed in the conference, you are actually irregularly amending the conference resolution.
But you can only be charged by the NPA.
That you can only be charged by the NPA. That discussion never arose. As long as a charge or there's been some allegations and all of that.
Yes.
In the resolutions. There was no NPA, but today there's NPA.
I suppose that's why we may agree to disagree, because I just see it as prioritization of the other rather than the alleged part of it and so on.
Yeah, very wrong.
That's okay. That's why I'm saying we can agree to disagree.
Okay. Tebu
asks as to, was the former president not in attendance because of the parole conditions or because of COVID-19 related concerns?
No, it's because it's because of the parole conditions. There's been conditions that were also brought in a couple of days before the event, and the going through that, the whole pile that came through, and the lawyers were busy mulling this thing, and the lawyers were not did not have sufficient time to give a clearance that within the newly submitted ones, that there is no conflict with him going to anything. So they were not able to come up with anything to clear, and also the doctors as well. So between the lawyers, there was no clarity within the next 2 days before the conference.
Yes.
As to what, not the conference, before the day, as to what should really obtain.
Okay.
So we then decided that
you might play safe. You better play safe.
Yeah, that's really the issue.
But in terms of his health condition, is he in good health?
Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you, Mr. Manyi. Banyana, can you just check Mr. Manyi so that we get him back on the line? Tinyiko, Refilwe, Jeff are standing by. Let's pay some bills while we clean up that line.
The station for news and talk. Power 98.7 on 103.6 in the south of Johannesburg, 104.4 in the Vaal, and 107.2 in Ekurhuleni. Now, we're talking.
8 minutes to the hour, 11 o'clock. We are in conversation with Mr. Bzwanele Manyi, spokesperson for the Jacob Zuma Foundation. We are trying to re-establish connection with him. I am aware that he had just landed from Durban at just after 10, so he might still be maneuvering his way through the airport there. Mr. Manyi, do I have you back on the line?
Yeah, I'm in an Uber, man. Apologies. Yeah.
No, not.
We went through a bad patch. Yeah.
Not a problem. I can never understand why Gauteng highways are so terrible with network, and it's meant to be a first world province.
Yeah.
Tinyiko is on the line. Tinyiko, good morning.
Good morning, Lukwan. How are you?
I'm well. How are you this morning?
No stress. Mine is short, man.
Yes.
Anyway, I don't expect President Zuma to be going anywhere. I mean, he's on sick leave.
Mm.
Yeah, but I like what he said. President Zuma said those who left the ANC out of disgruntlement, whatever, they cannot come back. You are speaking to one of them there. What is he saying about it?
You are speaking to?
One of them, those who left the ANC. He's not a member of ATM.
Okay, I'll put that question to Mr. Bayeti. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm just actually, I'm shocked. I'm surprised listening to Mr. Manyi. He sounds very delusional, and I'm sorry to use this word and sound very disrespectful, but it's like everything that he's talking about under Zuma's presidency didn't happen, you know? And if you're a true leader, you'd have to also reflect on the part that you played for where we are right now, which I don't think they are doing. And they need to decide, are they a foundation for political rallying for Zuma, or what are they stand for?
Okay. Got you loud and clear, Refilwe. I know you're on the road. Sounds like it as well. Mr. Manyi, you hear some of those, and indeed the foundation...
Let me respond quickly because I'm not taking notes.
Okay.
The last call, starting with the last call, you must just understand that we are responding to the input made by President Zuma, and it had different headings. He was speaking specifically on the ANC issues, which I'm being probed on, and I'm responding to that.
Yes.
So it's not like... the foundation is dabbling into what? It's the spokesperson of the patron and the foundation responding to the input of the patron.
Yes.
So there must be no confusion there. And then on the first caller, I think he probably read half the sentence. The issue about cannot go come back to the ANC, it was an issue that was saying, if you want to fix the ANC, you cannot define yourself outside the ANC and then hope that by so doing, you are fixing the ANC. Stay within the ANC and fix it for those that want to fix it, and so on. So which actually applies to the independents, because those are people that actually were even put there in the list by ANC processes, but by while we kicked out by the corruption in the ANC, but are saying they want to form independents, and so on, but they will still come back to the ANC. This is what they were hoping to do, to fix the ANC from outside or something. Now, I was saying to them, he was giving them advice to say, once you do that, there is not coming back. But it does not mean that those that are outside the ANC, like those that were in COPE, they did come back and all of that. So this one must not create the impression that if you leave any organization, you can't return.
The EFF is starting to adopt a position that you can't come back. But let's leave that. Mr. Manyi,
okay.
If former President Zuma were to be re-elected president of the ANC, would you return to the ANC?
Let's leave that for another day.
Let's leave that for another day.
Now, let's leave that. I know that a number of political formations were also invited. I saw the letter sent by the UDM, signed by its president, the General Bantu Olomisa. I also saw Minister Lindiwe Sisulu there. Were you surprised by her attendance?
No, not at all. But I think, not at all. The invite was for everyone. So anyone that would have come in.
You are depriving me that thought, Mr. Manyi.
Yes, I am. I nearly said things that were just my own thought. I'm supposed to speak for the foundation here. So the foundation position is that everyone was welcome. So if you've seen anybody there, there would have been no accident. Those people would have been there because they wanted to be there.
Let's talk about the foundation's work. Are you still pursuing the option of going to the African Human and People's Rights Court for a review of the Constitutional Court matter? And when can we start to see your papers approaching that court?
No, most definitely. We are just waiting for... You see, the lawyers were toying around with... and maybe these lawyers must work faster. There were two options. His Excellency President Zuma had said they must go to the African court. But whilst they were dealing with that African court thing, they were toying around with the idea of going to the UN, as it were. So it's been the advice from the law, from the lawyers, the one that is outstanding. But the directive
at the UN, who would they go for? Would they go to the... Where would they go?
There's a committee there that deals with human rights issues. You must remember that the convention that the Kambembe judgment seemed not to understand is a convention which binds South Africa to human rights issue. That Article 9 and Article 14.5 of that covenant is a covenant that they... that South Africa is party to.
So you'd approach the International Court of Justice?
For now, the lawyers are talking about the UN
because
Human Rights Committee on Human Rights.
Because the committee may give political commentary, but not necessarily judicial outcome. Judicial commentary.
Advocate Mbofu is an expert on these matters. He would know that, I'm sure, more than you and I. So they are dealing with it at that level. So I don't want to dabble into it.
Okay.
But it's receiving attention at that level.
Okay. Mr. Manyi, thank you so much for that. And please stay safe on the roads.
Thank you. You're most welcome. I'm actually almost home now.
Oh, fantastic. That is Mzwanele Manyi, spokesperson for the Jacob Zuma Foundation. You can hear that... a ruckus laugh there when he does not want to take you into any pity of a response. Well, that's that from the Jacob Zuma Foundation, just getting an update about the welcoming prayer meeting and also how far we are with those matters of litigation.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.